Good morning and welcome to the Franktown Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is nice to see you all here today. And it's a very, very special weekend. We have a special program today. And if you'll notice, there's a lot of kids missing in our pews right now. That's because they're all right back there. And they are going to be doing an awesome program. We've got all kinds of music today. And you are in for a really special treat. It's going to be a very special Sabbath today. So I'm glad you're here. And I know that you'll be blessed. A few announcements as we start. Today after church, we have our fasting and prayer group today. And if you've never stayed for that before, I encourage you to do that. It's a chance for our church family to get together and to spend some time in prayer, sharing prayer requests, and lifting each other up. And it's so nice during the week to know that there's other folks that are joining you in prayer. So that'll be just for a little while after church is done. Next Sabbath, we have our door-to-door ministries going, and if you've never done that before, that's a whole lot of fun. I think some of the best stories I've ever heard of outreach come from going door-to-door, because you never know who you're going to come across. I've seen so many divine appointments happen because someone just showed up and knocked on a door and prayed with somebody or gave them a piece of literature, and that will be next Sabbath afternoon. So please plan on coming and joining us for that. Also, on May 3, our school, Castlewood Christian School, is going to be having a craft fair. One of the biggest things that we love to do here is to support our school, and we're trying to finish the school year debt-free. And so we have some awesome leaders in our school that are helping make that happen. And this craft fair will help go along to help us meet that goal as well. It's May 3 from 4 o'clock to 7 o'clock p.m. There's going to be good food. And if there's anything I know a good Adventist loves, it's good food. So be sure and come because there's going to be good food there. If you have anything that you would like to make, it's a craft fair and people are making things to sell to raise money for our school. If you make something that you think would be great to sell there, or if you have something that you would like to donate that we can sell at this craft fair to raise money for our school, please feel free to get in touch with either Selma Wolfswinkel or Carrie Lang. One other thing I would like for you to note is that we, as you see on the sign out in front of the church, are open for pre-registration for Castlewood Christian School. So if you need a good school to send your kids to, we have one right here, Castlewood Christian School. And pre-registration is open. All right, that is all for the announcements. Once again, welcome to the Franktown Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you enjoy our program today.
I was there. I had just arrived to Jerusalem for the Passover celebrations. My hope turned to fear as I saw a throng of people following a group of soldiers. Driving three men under the heavy burden of their crosses. Two of them looked with rebellion on their faces and uttering oaths. The third, with blood trickling down his face, wore an expression of meekness and compassion. Who was this man, I wondered. Then the taunting crowd shouted, "Make way for Jesus, the King of Jews." I had heard of Jesus. I was not a believer. But certainly, he didn't deserve this type of torture. Again and again, as he struggled, falling under the weight of his burden, as he came closer and closer to the place where I stood, finally, as he came to where I stood, he fell to my feet. Moved by compassion, I offered words of sympathy. Suddenly, I felt harsh hands grab me, and harsh words said, "You there! Pick up his cross and carry it for him." Do I regret it? Never. As I look back, that burden was a blessing as it led me to the feet of his cross. My name is Simon of Cyrene. Amen.
Yes, I was there. I heard the shouting of the crowd subside, and I sensed a chilling, sobering hush as the nails were driven into his hands and feet. Mary, his mother, stood by my side, weeping, stopping her tears as she closed her eyes. I witnessed the soldiers take the cross slowly and rise it up. It wavered in the air for a moment, and then I cringed when I heard that thud of a sound of the cross hitting the bottom of the hole that had been prepared for it. As the sun rose higher and higher, his life drops of blood slowly fell to the ground. That is when I heard him say, "Dear woman, here is your son." And then he said to me, "Behold, your mother. My name, I am John."
Yes, I was there. After gaining permission from the authorities, my friends and I took him gently from the cross. And as was our custom in those days, we took clean strips of linen and wrapped his body, putting spices between the layers. Then we carried it to a newly made tomb that had been cut out of rock for my eventual use. After the Sabbath, we had planned to do more, but for now, that's all we could do, as the Roman soldiers had come to guard the tomb, and they rolled a heavy round stone covering its entrance. Then we made our way to our respective homes. I am Joseph of Arimathea.
I was there. My name is Mary. Before the light dawned on Sunday morning, two other women went with me to the tomb where the body of Jesus had been laid. We went to complete the anointing of the body because the previous anointing had been done in haste. But who would roll away the stone for us? I cannot describe how frightened we were to arrive and find the stone already rolled away and the linen clothing lying on the cold stone slab. Jesus wasn't there. As I lingered in the garden weeping because I didn't know where he was, a soft voice said to me, "Why are you weeping?" Can you imagine how I felt when he said to me, "Mary"?
My name is Peter. How can I begin to describe to you my feelings and emotions during those last days? As they came to take him away from the garden, I fled, leaving my beloved master to face the crowd alone. That memory haunts me, but it dims in comparison to the words, "I tell you, I never knew him." 3 times I denied that I was his follower. And then he turned and looked straight at me. How my heart broke at his look of compassion. But that is not the end of the story, for Jesus is alive. Despite all that I have done, he has restored me. I can still hear his voice asking me, "Peter, do you love me?" 3 times he asked, and 3 times he commanded me to feed his flock. For the rest of my days, I will carry with me his words of forgiveness and love. Now all my life, my all, I give to him. My one purpose is for Jesus to be seen in me.
You know, Jesus was all about transformations. We see it throughout all of Scripture. He transformed water into wine and turned embarrassment into enjoyment. He turned hunger into happiness on that hill with 5,000 other people. He turned hurt into healing with Mary Magdalene. He turned doubt into trust with a man named Thomas, who demanded to see the holes in his hands. He turned despair into inspiration with a short little man named Zacchaeus. And on the Sea of Galilee, he was on a boat with his disciples, and a storm came up, a big storm. And all of his disciples thought that they were going to die. That's how bad of a storm it was. It was chaos. And Jesus was sleeping in the back of the boat. And they cried to him, "Lord, save us, we're about to die." And Jesus, in the midst of the chaos, created peace, transformed being scared into being confident that they were with the Messiah. He turned sickness into health with many, many people. And he even turned death into life with a few. He was always transforming people. And he's still transforming people today. Jesus is very good at turning darkness into light. A lot of people go through dark times in their lives. And I have found that the only way they come out of that darkness into light is with Jesus Christ. Amen. On a Friday, a long time ago, there was darkness. In Matthew chapter 27, it says, "The whole land was covered in darkness. And Jesus was hanging on a cross." Jesus died on that cross. Why did Jesus die on that cross? All over the country, all around the world, people are having a special celebration this weekend to celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus. But what does that mean to each and every one of us? Why is this so special? My Bible says the wages of sin is what? Death. Is that true? Yes, it is. Every one of us makes mistakes. Can sin be permitted in heaven? No. It wouldn't be heaven, would it? But I love the second part of that verse. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And because he died on the cross that Friday night, that dark Friday night many years ago, we can live. It was dark in that tomb. They laid his body in the grave. And a lot of people had forgotten what Jesus had said, that in 3 days, I'll rise again. So many people forgot that. So many people. And yet there was a transformation that happened Sunday morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. In verse 2, it had been a rough weekend. Imagine the angels going through for that Friday. Imagine the disciples. Imagine Jesus' mother going through that Friday. That dark, dark Friday. But remember, Jesus is all about transformations. And in verse 2 of Matthew chapter 28, it says, "And behold, there was a great earthquake." Earthquakes will get your attention, won't they? "There was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. And he came and he rolled back the stone from the door and he sat on it." I like that part. And verse 3 says, "His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing was white as snow." Both of those words, if you look at them in Greek, both mean light. They can mean light or lightning. But it's significant here because, again, Jesus' transformation from darkness into light happens on this Sunday morning. And this light that's bright like lightning comes, and the angel Gabriel comes and pulls that stone and calls Jesus from that grave. I wish I could have been hiding in the bushes somewhere to see this. I don't know if I could have handled it. But what an amazing moment that must have been. There must have been choirs in heaven that were just booming with joy and gladness for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Jesus transformed from the darkness of Friday and the death to the brightness of his resurrection on Sunday morning. Jesus transformed so many people's lives. But the transformation he wants the most is the transformation of your life today. Many of us go through dark times in our lives. We deal with things in life that are really hard to handle. And sometimes it feels like we're going through a very dark, dark place. But Jesus is always there to be the shining light and to help us make it through that dark place. You see, Jesus loves you very, very much. He went through a whole lot for you on a weekend a long, long time ago. But even though it was so long ago, I believe he was thinking of you and me. Because now, we are sinners saved by grace. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, because of that resurrection morning, you and I can have eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And because of that, we can have a hope. I'm thankful that Jesus loves me enough to come down from heaven, where I'm sure it's nice, to be born in a barn, to be spat on, to be nailed to a tree, to be killed, so that someday, when my name is called, Jesus says, "Hey, he's mine. I died for his sins. Welcome to heaven." I'm so thankful that Jesus died for me and for you. And if there's been a time in your life where you've had a little bit of that dark spell and you've been saying, "Man, I don't know if this relationship with Jesus will be worth it. I don't know if he can fix my problems. I don't know if he can bring light to my dark situation." My appeal to you today is to give him a chance. Let him bring light into your life. Let him bring love into your life. It'll change your life forever. And you'll have peace and you'll have hope like you've never had before. This weekend, I'm thankful for the sacrifice of Jesus. I'm thankful for the death and for the resurrection and for the hope that every one of us have. And being with him together in heaven. Father in heaven, Lord, on this Sabbath, we are thankful for your gift that you gave us. We're thankful that you love us so much that you would come down here and take our place. Sometimes it's hard to comprehend that kind of love, Lord. Help us to show that type of love back to you as best we can. Lord, we're looking forward to the day when you come through the clouds and take us all home. When those who have fallen asleep in you will be resurrected just as you were resurrected and showed that you have power over the grave. Lord, we're looking forward to being reunited with those we've been separated from on that great day when you come. So, Lord, Stay close to us until then. Help your sacrifice never to be too far from our hearts and minds. And Lord, help us to always keep you close. We can't wait to see you, Lord, and we're glad we're one Sabbath closer to being with you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.